That man, Bruce, was at Dr. Montgomery's house at the end of our stay. He said he was packing up Monty's reptile collection for the Herpetological Society. Do you think he's really a member of VFD? Violet asked.
We can't be sure, Quigley said. We've managed to investigate so many mysteries, and yet there's still so much we don't know.
He sighed thoughtfully, and gazed down at the ruins of headquarters rushing toward them.
My siblings!
But the Baudelaires never got to hear any more about Quigley's siblings, because at that moment the toboggan, despite Violet's efforts with the leather straps, slipped against a melted section of the waterfall, and the large sled began to spin. The children screamed, and Violet grabbed the straps as hard as she could, only to have them break in her hands.
"The steering mechanism is broken!"
she yelled.
"Dragging Esme Squalor up the slope must have weakened the straps!"
"Uh-oh!"
Sunny cried, which meant something along the lines of, "That doesn't sound like good news."
"At this velocity,"
Violet said, using a scientific word for speed,
"the toboggan won't stop when we reach the frozen pool. If we don't slow down, we'll fall right into the pit we dug."
Klaus was getting dizzy from all the spinning and closed his eyes behind his glasses.
"What can we do?" he asked.
"Drag your shoes against the ice," Violet cried.
"The forks should slow us down."
Quickly, the two elder Baudelaires stretched out their legs and dragged the forks of their shoes against the last of the ice on the slope. Quigley followed suit, but Sunny, who of course was not wearing fork-assisted climbing shoes, could do nothing but listen to the scraping and splashing of the forks against the thawing ice of the stream as the toboggan slowed ever so slightly.
"It's not enough!" Klaus cried.
As the toboggan continued to spin, he caught brief glimpses of the pit they had dug, covered with a thin layer of weakened wood, getting closer and closer as the four children hurtled toward the bottom of the waterfall.
"Bicuspid?"
Sunny asked, which meant something like, "Should I drag my teeth against the ice, too?"
"It's worth a try,"
Klaus said. But as soon as the youngest Baudelaire leaned down and dragged her teeth along the thawing waterfall, the Baudelaires could see at once that it was not really worth a try at all, as the toboggan kept spinning and racing toward the bottom.
"That's not enough either,"
Violet said, and focused her inventing mind as hard as she could, remembering how she had stopped the caravan when she and her brother were hurtling away from Count Olaf's automobile. But there was nothing large enough to use as a drag chute, and the eldest Baudelaire found herself wishing that Esme Squalor were on board with them, so she could stop the toboggan with her enormous flame-imitating dress. She knew there was no blackstrap molasses, wild clover honey, corn syrup, aged balsamic vinegar, apple butter, strawberry jam, caramel sauce, maple syrup, butterscotch topping, maraschino liqueur, virgin and extra virgin olive oil, lemon curd, dried apricots, mango chutney, crema di noci, tamarind paste, hot mustard, marshmallows, creamed corn, peanut butter, grape preserves, salt water taffy, condensed milk, pumpkin pie filling, or glue on board, or any other sticky substance for that matter. But then she remembered the small table she had used to drag on the ground behind the caravan, and she reached into her pocket and knew what she could do.
"Hang on!"
Violet cried, but she did not hang on herself. Dropping the broken straps of the toboggan, she grabbed the long bread knife and took it out of her pocket at last. It had only been several days, but it felt like a very long time since she had taken the knife from the caravan, and it seemed that every few minutes she had felt its jagged blade in her pocket as she tried to defeat the villains high above her without becoming a villain herself. But now, at last, there was something she could do with the knife that might save them all, without hurting anyone. Gritting her teeth, Violet leaned out of the spinning toboggan and thrust the knife as hard as she could into the ice of the slippery slope. The tip of the blade hit the crack caused by Carmelita's spring pole, and then the entire knife sank into the slope just as the toboggan reached the bottom. There was a sound, the likes of which the Baudelaires had never heard, like a combination of an enormous window shattering and the deep, booming sound of someone firing a cannon. The knife had widened the crack, and in one tremendous crash, the last of the ice fell to pieces, and all of the forks, sunlight, teeth, and tobogganing finally took their toll on the waterfall.